Good evening. This is the Voice of America in Washington. Welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'm Douglas Simpuga. This evening we'll talk about the role of Africa's regional blocs in maintaining stability. And with us tonight is Saine Marena, a Gambian journalist. She's joining us from the Senegalese capital, Dakar, I believe. Good evening, Saine.
Good evening, Douglas. Greetings from Dakar, Senegal.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, sir.
Yep. And also we have Suleiman Mugula, a regular panelist. He's joining us, as usual, from Durban, South Africa. He is an independent political analyst. Good evening, Suleiman.
Good evening, Douglas. Good evening, our listeners, and greeting my colleagues from Senegal.
Thank you very much, and welcome to the show once again.
Thank you very much for inviting us.
You're welcome. Now, as I said, our topic tonight, we're going to talk about African regional blocs and their role in maintaining stability. Africa's regional blocs do not only constitute key building blocks for economic integration in Africa, but are also key actors working in collaboration with the African Union in ensuring peace and stability in their regions. Now, why don't we start from there? Because recently one of these roles was ably played in Gambia, near where my brother Saine is. How grateful are the people of Gambia to ECOWAS, for instance?
Thank you very much, Douglas. As you know, ECOWAS forces are currently in Banjul under the decision by the ECOWAS head of state following our political crisis. So the reception by ordinary Gambians to ECOWAS is very receptive, and then they will be there to provide security to President Adama Barrow for the next 6 months. So ECOWAS is playing a very fundamental role in ensuring that peace, security, and stability reign in the Gambia.
I see. Suleiman, many observers point out ECOWAS is decisive and, I believe, good act in Gambia. It's not the first time they have done that. They intervened in Liberia, I remember, in Sierra Leone. That doesn't seem to happen in other regional bloc in the continent. Is that your feeling too?
Yes, please. Actually, ECOWAS is a very good example. It has given the lead for a long time now. But I think before I go that one, Douglas, I think allow me to congratulate our brothers in Gambia, those within the country and those outside of the country. We should congratulate them for having been able to resist, for having been able to withstand the pain and the torture. So many Gambians have died. So many have died within the country, others out of the country, others on the high sea because of a psychopath, because of a very intolerant and a bipolar patient who almost turned the whole country into a prison.
So I thought he was a doctor.
We have to congratulate them for having withstood the pain which they have withstood, just like other people who are still going through the same pain. So on the question of ECOWAS, Douglas, I agree with you that we have to congratulate also ECOWAS for giving a very good example of understanding that you cannot have economic development. You cannot have economic development whatsoever without having political stability. And they have been united in that one. Remember that, as you have said, it is not the first time they have interfered. As you realize, the West African region is becoming more and more stable. They offloaded the Taylor. They were very resilient, and they allowed the French to offload the Banco. Remember also, they were very instrumental in helping in Guinea-Conakry when a madman called Daddy Camara nearly also made Guinea-Conakry to turn into another graveyard. ECOWAS was not willing to give them, to give him that space to destroy the country. But even before they flexed their muscles, thank God that that is Kamala was, there was an attempt on him in the, on December 3rd in 2009 by his own fellow soldiers. Otherwise, ECOWAS is a very resilient organization, is focused, and thank God that as time has grown, it has got very well-meant leaders within the region, as you see. The Mark Sall, they gave a very good leadership. Saleh, the Madame Salif, then Koroma and the soldier, Buhari. I think they gave a very good example of a no-nonsense attitude towards these self-made semi-gods. Of course, together with Ghana, which is also becoming a leading country as far as the fight for democracy is concerned. So unlike the ECOWAS, when we turned into the other region, the other regions are dead. Mm-hmm. Of course, East Africa has got a very big disadvantage. It has got most of the problem at, on the continent right now. We have problems in Sudan. We have problems in Burundi. We have problems in DRC, Central African Republic. Uganda is unstable. Now, the whole region is unstable because it is surrounded by dictators. In many of these countries, the population has tried to defeat the warlords who are leading those particular countries, but the organization, the regional organizations which are there, they have not been able to make any effect because the majority of the members of these regions are warlords themselves. For example, when you look at East Africa, you have got Rwanda. Rwanda is a warlord. Uganda is a warlord. Sudan, South Sudan, a warlord. DRC, a warlord. Burundi, a warlord. So you leave only, even Ethiopia, Eritrea, you leave only Kenya and Tanzania. In that case, you cannot have any movement as far as East African community is concerned. You cannot have any movement as far as IGAD is concerned. That is why, despite of losing or his term ending in Burundi, he has continued to be there. Despite his term ending in DRC, Kabila has continued to be there. Despite losing the February 2016 elections in Uganda, Museveni is still there. So despite his term also getting over soon in Rwanda, Kagame will still be there. So that is why I'm saying, as far as East Africa is concerned, that is a dead region, and we don't expect any movement, and you cannot compare it with the ECOWAS in the West African region.
I see. Saine, talking of the roles of these blocs, of course, primarily ECOWAS now that seems to have proven itself, is there a feeling among Gambians, both within Gambia and the diaspora, who think that they... Of course, the people played their role. They vote. They made their choice. They rejected the incumbent. Are there those who feel that had ECOWAS not acted, maybe Jammeh would still be president today?
Yeah, there have been a lot of feelings among ordinary Gambians about the current happenings in the country with the intervention of ECOWAS. So many people before feel that ECOWAS is not an institution that really respect or go by its ideals. But when the Gambian crisis started, ECOWAS was very, very instrumental in trying to see that the express will of Gambians are respected by Yahya Jammeh, who was doing everything to stay in power. So ECOWAS moved very quickly to ensure that these rights are protected. So now there is a lot of ordinary feeling from Gambians that, yes, we must support the work of ECOWAS because Gambian situation was very complex to an extent that without support from regional bloc like ECOWAS, Yahya Jammeh will no way step down. So ECOWAS were very, very instrumental with African Union and the United Nations. So Gambians are very, very grateful. Those whom I speak to are commending ECOWAS for their intervention to restore sanity in the Gambia. But others who believe that, who believe with nationalist feeling, also said the intervention of ECOWAS is something that has been spearheaded by Senegal, and they believe that Senegal should not come to Gambia to intervene militarily to get Yahya Jammeh because of sovereignty. So these are issues and concerns raised by the other section of the society. But majority of the Gambians are having the feeling that the intervention is right and it is something that will preserve our peace and tranquility. President Adama Barrow, I'm just coming from the airport now. He departed Dakar to Banjul. He already arrived at the Banjul International Airport now. And ECOWAS security officers are on the ground. They will be providing him security and security with Gambian Armed Forces in partnership. So basically, he in fact ordered for the ECOWAS troop to remain in Banjul for next 6 months to ensure that the military is neutralized, because they believe that there are few elements, loyalists of the former president who need to be neutralized, because we receive a report that threats still exist at the State House where the former leader was living for 22 years. So ECOWAS intervention in the Gambia is something welcomed by many, many Gambians.
I see. Before I proceed, let me remind our listeners of the blocs, the regional blocs we're talking about. There is the Arab Maghreb Union, which is in the north. There is the ECOWAS, which of course is in the west. There is the East African Community in the east. The Intergovernmental Authority on Development also in the east. Then the SADC in the south. COMESA in the southeast. And the what they call the Economic Community of Central African States, ECAS, in the center. Now, Saino there just tells us that President Barrow, the new president of Gambia, has just landed in Banjul. In some of these regional blocs, opposition leaders who have won elections have ended up in jail instead. I can take an example of one in Uganda, for instance, who allegedly won. He ended up in jail for some time, and the regional bloc just kept mute. What makes ECOWAS tick that can't apply elsewhere, Suleiman?
Yes, as I've said, ECOWAS has been able to get, number one, democracy has been growing
in West Africa.
In West Africa. Mm-hmm. You find a country like Ghana has reached a point of no return. They are no longer going backward to dictatorship. Thank God, Nigeria, the most populous country in the region, is also in the same course. Then plus others, Liberia, they went through a lot of bloodshed, and Sierra Leone, they cannot turn around anymore. They cannot allow any bloodshed. Taylor was offloaded with the help of ECOWAS, and then is now in ICC, which is good. So when you look at the ECOWAS, the majority of the leaders are all democratically elected. Actually, we should even add that some time back, ECOWAS had even passed a resolution to have a 2 terms limit in the region. Mm-hmm. It was blocked by Yahya Jammeh and Nyasimbe in Togo, who are the same, who are in the same category. Otherwise, the mindset in the region is that people should have 2-term limits, and then they hand over to other properly elected leadership. The Liberia, they are soon getting election. He's not going to stand. Sierra Leone, they are soon getting election. Koroma is not going to stand. So, which means the area, democracy is entrenched in the area. A few rotten tomatoes within there, they are waiting for any opportunity to uproot them, and then the region will become fully democratic. In East Africa, they haven't moved an inch, because it's only Kenya which has got democratically elected leaders, but it is also still fragile. Tanzania has got its own culture. So So apart from that, which other country could you stand on to stand on the side of democracy? All of those ones took power through the gun. They all grabbed the power. They all put on suits during the day, and at night they sleep in uniform. They have manipulated elections. They have made it a ritual. Actually, there is no democracy whatsoever. All those countries around in East Africa, those are high maximum prisons. Mm-hmm. The citizens in those areas are just prisoners and servants of those warlords who are leading. So it is very difficult. The organizations only exist in name, but there is little which they can do to benefit the ordinary citizen and to grow democracy into the region.
Well, let's just take a short break. We'll be back to continue our discussion of the role of Africa's regional blocs in maintaining stability. Welcome back. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Reporters Roundtable, and we're coming to you live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. Tonight, we're discussing the role of Africa's regional blocs in maintaining stability. Our panelists are Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst, and Saine Marena, a Gambian journalist based in West Africa. And I'm your host, Douglas Simpoga, here in Studio 9. Now, Saine, you heard what Suleiman said there, and how West Africa at least is trying to its best to build on democratic institutions and have democracy in that region. Do you have a sense that this model can spread to the rest of the continent, or is going to be confined to the West?
Absolutely. This is a wing of change and a victory for democracy. And I think one reason why ECOWAS was very, very concerned to see that the express rule of Gambians is respected is that they want to send a clear message to the remaining African dictators in the region or somewhere else that if people vote you out, there is no way you will stay in power. And secondly, they also want to build democratic institutions where there will be smooth transfer of power. So for the Gambian case, it's now a case study. Many people doubt that there will be change in the Gambia because of the attitude of the former president, Yahya Jammeh. If you remember, he came to power in 1994 through a military coup, stayed there. Under his 22 years, he have total disregard for the constitution, arbitrary arrests, violations of human rights. And this is something that Gambians said will never happen in their history again. So now you have seen very, very young people who took very powerful stand in this whole process. Barrow's victory to power was something that was fired by the zeal of young people from social media down to university students. This was a coordinated action by young people, by people from all walk of life, but spearheaded by young people of the Gambia. And then ECOWAS came in to complement their efforts. So this is a signal that ECOWAS is out to ensure that there is respect for fundamental rights, strong institution must be there, and then by doing that, people will be able to claim for their those rights that, you know, West African leaders, most of them dictators, are not willing to accept. So I'm just going to give you an example. Many people in the Gambia now are free to criticize the government because the fear culture has been, you know, break down with coming of Barrow. So it has opened doors for democratic dispensations. Presidents will not overstay their mandate. And this was one of the key things young people ought Barrow to address, like there must be power distributed. Power should not lie heavily on the president. There must be separation of power, check and balances. And this is something that Barrow promised to embark on. You know, he has been acts by ordinary Gambians that 22 years of dictatorship has been painful. And then the way to stop another dictator from emerging is to build strong institutions. That is why ECOWAS and regional bodies are currently in Banjul to help President Barrow build a smooth transition and institution to ensure democracy prevail in West Africa. It's a big lesson. Senegal here play a crucial role. Senegal lead the troops to Banjul, and then, you know, Senegal, we know, is a country very close to Gambia, and they have institutions, strong institutions. Senegal have term limit, and then this is something inspired Gambians to also demand for certain things. It's like in Senegal here, you are free to do certain things, and in the Gambia, you are not allowed to do certain things because of a dictatorial regime of the former government. But now this is changing. If you follow Gambians on social media, on Twitter, on WhatsApp, you will find a new freedom in them. They are now expressing themselves freely without thinking of going to jail. So this is something that needs to continue. But institutions must be there to protect the rights of people. And this is something ECOWAS is, you know, doing. And ECOWAS said they are moving from ECOWAS of state to ECOWAS of people. And this is something that is unprecedented, because then ECOWAS was not very, very active, in the sense that we have seen a lot of coups happening, and ECOWAS will threaten them with sanctions. But at the end, no concrete step will be taken. But now the Gambian case is different. It is now a case study for other sub-regional blocs in East Africa, in Southern Africa, to emulate what ECOWAS has did in the Gambia. There is still a lot of work to be done, but I'm sure with the support from international organizations like the UN, the African Union, Gambia will be back on its feet and democracy will flourish.
I see. Suleiman Saini there says this ECOWAS exercise should be a case study for other regional blocs. There are those who have concerned about the AU itself, because it seemingly is controlled by those who are anti-democratic. Because they have been in power longer, for 20, 30, 40 years, they seem to have a bigger voice than leaders who come and serve their terms and go out. Do you feel that ECOWAS's model could expand and maybe influence the AU itself? Or maybe that's a lost cause for some part of the continent?
I think it will, because as my brother said, ECOWAS is determined, and not only the leaders themselves, but also the population. As we have said, Burkina Faso, Gambia, Tunisia, Gambia, you can see young people getting involved. So maybe also the push from the bottom will push the leaders. But we also have to credit the leaders themselves. People like Macky Sall, they are really determined Democrats. We cannot say that they are part-time Democrats. People in Gambia, in Ghana, we need to compliment, for example, the leadership in Ghana. They have extended their hand beyond, they are the first to extend their hand beyond West Africa. Ghana, in the inauguration of Akufo Addo, it broke diplomatic etiquette when it decided to invite opposition leaders from the continent, those who are under dictatorial regimes, instead of inviting the federal leaders, those dictators who have stayed. The opposition leader from Uganda, Dr. Vizza Kizze, was invited as one of the dignitaries in Ghana. The one, Morgan Tsvangirai, was invited as one of the dignitaries. I think that is one of the pointers that the West African leadership is getting fed up with the dictatorial leaders on the continent. Maybe soon or later they will start influencing the AU. No doubt whatsoever the AU is dead because they are overshadowed it. They have overshadowed it because even us here in Southern Africa, if I can go down to Southern Africa, we have also been affected in the same way. SADC has been dead. Remember, in Southern Africa, in 2008, Mugabe lost the election. The way Gbagbo lost the election, the way Yahya Jammeh lost the election, it was nationally and internationally accepted that Mugabe lost the election in 2008. But Mugabe manipulated, unleashed violence on the opposition, leaders, unleashed violence on the supporters of the opposition. Unfortunately, Sadaka could not take a stand. Instead, South Africa, using its muscle in the region, turned around all the international and regional efforts to ask Mugabe to leave to step down. People like leaders like Kama of Botswana, they came out openly. The Zambian one also, they came out openly and they called on President Mugabe to step down. But South Africa divided the region, and they allowed Mugabe, they massaged Mugabe, and then Mugabe manipulated the system and then forced himself in power after he had lost elections.
Mm-hmm.
Others also, like Dos Santos, they have continued to do what they want. Swaziland, they have continued to do what they want because SADC does not have unity of purpose.
Mm-hmm.
South Africa led the move to allow Mugabe. Today, South Africa is suffering more the burden of Mugabe. It has got over 3 million, 3 million Zimbabweans in South Africa. If there is any threat to the democracy of South Africa, it is the pressure from the Zimbabwean immigrants who are pouring non-stop into South Africa. So unless we get resolute leaders in these regions, unless we get help from regions like West Africa to start influencing the AU to support those who are good within those particular regions to overrun the dictators, the continent will go nowhere. Because for those who have stayed, 30 years, like themselves, like the Kagame, like the Mugabe's, mm-hmm. where are the economies?
I see. We are running out of time. Sirene, briefly, how long are the ECOWAS forces supposed to stay in Gambia? We have about less than a minute.
The mandate of the ECOWAS forces, according to President Bah, will be 6 months. And this is subjected to extension, looking at the security situation, because one of their role will be to provide provide safety and security to the president. And secondly, also, they will train and advise Gambian military officers. Currently, they have embarked on disarming some of the loyalists of the former president who are still in Banjul, and there have been reports of missing catchment of arms and ammunition moved from the state house, likely to be taken to the president's birthplace, which is very close to Casamas, where this rebellion is taking place. This was the fear of ECOWAS, that these weapons might find themselves in the hands of wrong people who have been fighting for low-level insurgency in southern Casamas region. So this is why ECOWAS will have a lot of work to do in the Gambia, ranging from reforming the military, which Yahya Jammeh turned into a jungler kind of military, where he gave orders to a section or group of military within military who are responsible for kidnapping, abducting people, and also political motivated assassination. So mm-hmm. there is a lot of work to be done. There is security sector reform, which mm-hmm. is also one of the key mandates of the ECOWAS forces in the country. Basically, they will be there, but subjected to extension, depending on how the situation unfolds.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this edition of Reporters Roundtable. Many thanks to Sirene Marina, a Gambian journalist who has joined us from Dakar in Senegal, and Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst based in South Africa. Gentlemen, thanks very much for being on the show.
Thank you very much for inviting us.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And Suleiman, thank you for congratulating us. We finally made it.
All right, thank you.
It's a pleasure, man. Wish you the best of luck.
Yeah, and our producer tonight was Jackson Mufunganyi. Our engineer was Skip Sisk. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that in case you missed this program or part of it, you can go to our main website, scroll to Reporters Roundtable, and you'll find it there. Once again, thanks very much for tuning in. And until next week, I'm your host, Douglas Impoga, in Washington.